You are listening to Real World News.
Interview with Frederick Wolf from ProNatura, Friends of the Earth Switzerland. The main issue discussed at the 11th Conference of the Parties, COP11, to the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity, was how to finance biodiversity protection, said the head of International Biodiversity Policy of ProNatura, Friends of the Earth Switzerland, Frederick Wolf. Before the COP held in Hyderabad from October the 8th to the 19th, there was homework every country had to do before the negotiations to assess how much money they spent themselves, how much money they still needed, and how much perverse subsidies were already being spent, that being subsidies a damaged biodiversity, said the activist in an interview with Real World Radio. So the countries did not do their homework. There was no reliable data available, he regretted. The CBD entered into force on December 29, 1993, and it has three main objectives: the conservation of biological diversity, the sustainable use of the components of biological diversity, and the fair and equitable sharing of the benefits arising out of the utilization of genetic resources.
Yes, actually, we are quite fine with the results that happened in Hyderabad. The main issue was on how to finance biodiversity, and there were many concerns from the situation before. As you, or some people may recall, in Nagoya at the last COP in 2010, there was some major decisions, and one was that there would be a strategic plan how to save biodiversity with 20 targets, and there were two others. One to have a protocol on biopiracy, to prevent biopiracy, and the third decision was made to upscale our biodiversity finance. And according to that decision, the COP in Hyderabad was to set concrete targets, how much more money would be spent on biodiversity. And the basis for this was to be an analysis how much money is already being spent, so we have a baseline. And there was a homework every country had to do before the negotiations, and how to assess how much money they spent themselves, how much money they still needed, and how much perverse subsidies were already being spent. That means subsidies that damage biodiversity. And the countries didn't do their homework, so it was an awkward situation before the COP. There was no clear data, reliable data available, and also the industrialized countries did not have any clear message that they would be able to spend more money on biodiversity in the future. So it looked like there would be no agreement, and this would have busted the complete conference. Because that was the main aim, to get clarity, to set targets on biodiversity finance. And in the end, after 2 weeks of intensive negotiations, they managed to fix targets. So it was now agreed to double the biodiversity finance by 2015, international biodiversity finance, which I think is quite a good step in the right direction. Of course, it is not enough money to do everything that is necessary. There have to be further steps, but it's the start, and it's the first step in the right direction. And what we would like to see now is, of course, that at national level, countries start to implement this decision, that is, indeed take action so that more money is available for saving biodiversity on a global scale and provide the necessarily international financial flows.
Okay, Frederick, and what can you tell us about the mechanisms which are set to get this kind of funds? We have heard, for example, from other representatives of Friends of the Earth, for example, who are concerned because some of the mechanisms are market-based or with examples like RED, with situations in some countries in which the indigenous peoples do not have the possibility of taking decisions in their territories, which are by fact privatized by those kind of projects such as RED, for example. What's your opinion, Frederick, about the those kind of mechanisms, or if you saw some other mechanisms which can be useful and you would like to strengthen?
Yes, indeed. The basic question that has to be resolved is how do you raise the money? Where does the money come from? And of course, our perspective from Friends of the Earth is that we say public money for public goods. Biodiversity is a public, a common good, and it needs to be financed by a public, that is tax, for example, for public sources. And there has been quite a debate already at the last COP to use so-called innovative financial mechanisms, or IFMs, to get that money, and among them are offsetting mechanisms, and among them are indeed mechanisms that would put a price on nature, like the green development mechanisms. And we are very unhappy if money is derived from those sources, because it could lead to a privatization and a commodification of nature. So we reject that. And yes, there were no major final decisions taken in Hyderabad on that issue. Although on the other hand, the door on IFMs has not been closed. So we need further to look closely what of innovative financial mechanism.
Okay.
We will have a close look on that, and of course fight the innovative mechanisms that indeed lead to a privatization.
Okay. Have you heard in the negotiations, Frederick, other examples of financing the protection of the forests? I don't know, maybe any some countries which could have presented some special way of protecting forests, but in a public way, with public funds, in a way which maybe paying the ecological debt by the industrialized countries. Do you have something special about that, or there were no important news?
Well, there is a positive initiative that has been made by India, that India is going to spend $50 million dollars on biodiversity in the near future, but it's not quite clear what exactly for. So that is also mainly to be seen as a positive signal. Underline the importance also developing countries are attaching to biodiversity, that they are prepared, even from their restricted situation, to put in what they can to achieve these targets. But other than that, I haven't really heard of any precise mechanisms to improve the situation in other countries. No.
Okay, Frederick. We know that Friends of the Earth International has an international campaign against corporate capture in the UN, but we also know that the situation is different. For example, in the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, comparing with the COP or the space on biological diversity. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we have heard that this space of the biological diversity UN framework it has more participation of corporations, private corporations today than in the past. I know that you have been following the process of the COP or the COPs on biological diversity. How do you see that? I mean, is it a space which is being more and more privatized, or with more and more power of corporations, or you are not really sure about that? How do you see the process?
Well, I think the CBD process is, as it always has been, very participative, and there are many opportunities for non-governmental organizations and indigenous peoples to make themselves heard. They are able to raise their concerns even during the negotiations. It's rather informal. It can be quite spontaneous. And the private sector is not as visible in the CBD process as it is in the climate process. That is quite different. The climate process is much behind closed doors. You have to make your interventions 2 weeks in advance. And then it's even not clear if you can really make them. You only have a minute at maximum to say something. And so civil society participation is much, much different in the UNFCCC. And that, yes, interests are surfacing, but not in the CBD, really, no.
Okay, Frederick, my last question. What happened with the situation of the moratorium existing against geoengineering and the Terminator technology? Do you see it is safe, it is sure, it is under threat? I know that it is something very important for social movements and social organizations to keep these moratoriums. What happened about that in Hyderabad?
Well, I think the situation, I mean, geoengineering is an issue that's been tabled on the last two COPs. And the moratorium has been continued. So that is the good news, that indeed the situation has not changed. The agreements that have been made in the last two COPs were restated. That is to apply the precautionary principle, not to allow any large-scale geoengineering unless it's been absolutely proven to be scientifically safe, which is nowhere the case. So the moratorium is going to continue. That does not mean that, for example, some countries don't keep to that moratorium. And a recent example that was very much discussed at the COP was that of Canada having a large-scale ocean iron fertilization off the coast in the Pacific, close to, adjacent to indigenous lands. And there has been lots of protest, but Canada doesn't seem to be really concerned about that. And that is, such as, of course, a big concern that the decisions that have been taken are not implemented.
Okay, Frederick, how did you see the participation of your government, the government of Switzerland? What can you say about that?
As far as I can say, I think they have been mostly quite constructive, as they always are. They are indeed interested to bring the issue forward, to do something for biodiversity. They're quite good at making, building bridges. But on one issue, we were quite unhappy with them, and that is the issue of more finance, because Switzerland made a strong point of saying that unless we have clear numbers and clear indications how much money is needed, we will not pledge for any additional money. We won't give more money. And this position at some point threatened to have an agreement in India at all on finance. And luckily, we were able to convince them not to block, but they still are not really supporting that decision to raise biodiversity finance. So we will need to talk with them, and so they change their position.
Okay, those were the words of Frederick Wolf. He is a representative of ProNatura, Friends of the Earth Switzerland. Frederick, thank you very much for your time. We know that you are really busy, so thank you, really.
Thank you, Jose.
You are listening to Real World News.